Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Well, you know, I was really excited yesterday when I studied. And I received the word for today. And it really lifted my spirit when I began to study and receive the message. Not only because I know that it's a mighty work that God's doing in me, but because I know that I'm receptive to His will and His word and His ways in my life. And it is really humbling to know how God moves. To be blessed to see the Lord at work in your life is a very humbling experience. The message today, I hope that it is moving to you as much as it does move me. But we know that God's book is filled with promises. There's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. Not just well-worded thoughts that make you feel good, but verbal guarantees in writing signed by God where He says He will do something or not do something. These promises are designed to give us courage. They're designed to strengthen us. They're designed to give us hope and faith and trust in Him. Amen? Our message today, obviously, is on promises. Our tithe song was a good song on promises. When God strengthens us, He reveals His promises unto us and to our hearts. Many of the promises written within Scripture are ours to claim, but not necessarily all of them. Some of the promises are unique and historical in nature and apply to specific situations. Okay? Maybe not necessarily for ours to claim. For example, in Genesis 18:10, God told Abraham, or the word says, and He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it at the tent door which was behind him. Now, God spoke specifically to Abraham and said his wife Sarah would have a son. Yes, it's in the book. It's in the Bible. That promise. Girls like my dad. Is that a promise for him to claim? Not necessarily. If we look closer at this promise, we can see that it was a promise given specifically to Abraham for a specific reason. It was to fulfill the covenant that God had made with him. Where in Genesis 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Well, the only way that God was able to fulfill that covenant, for that covenant to ever come true, God had to promise Abraham a son. A son, his nation would not be blessed. It would not multiply. So we can see that this promise was a historical one given specifically to Abraham, not necessarily for each and every man that desires to have a son to claim. It has significant historical significance. It was given specifically to Abraham and Sarah. Now, there are a lot of promises, as I mentioned, over 7,000 promises within Scripture. A lot of them, and probably most of them, are conditional. Which means that one part has to be fulfilled in order for the arrangement to be given, for the promise to be received. The promise is reliable. The promise of God that He specifies is reliable. And it can be counted on to receive it. But in order to receive it, there's a condition that has to be met first. There's something that you have to do before God will do His part, right? Proverbs 3:5 is a good example. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. What's the promise? He'll direct your path, right? What's the condition? Trust in the Lord. Lean not into thy own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him. When you do your part, when you trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding and acknowledge him in your life. When you fulfill that part in your life, then he will fulfill his. In this promise says, he shall direct thy path. It's conditional. You have to do your part in order to receive his part. Right? We talk a lot about receiving God's will into our life, praying for it. But what's the biggest part of that condition? The biggest part of that condition is waiting. Waiting for God's fulfillment. Why is this important? It's important because many pure-hearted, trusting Christians hold tight to promises and build their hopes really high, only to suffer the pain that they may experience later when the promise is not fulfilled, when it's not received. When they don't receive what God told me he would do this. You know, the word, it says that he'll guide my path. You know, that I won't flounder. That I won't be confused. However you want to take that scripture. But you got to remember, you got to read all of it. You can't pull out verses and apply them conveniently to your life. There's a book. There's a guideline that tells us what we need to do and what we're not supposed to do. There's a guideline in this, within these pages that tell us it's not always an easy walk. But if we trust in God, we know it'll be worth it. Amen? It's a hard walk. But when you don't receive what you expect to receive, a lot of times we get discouraged because we may misunderstand, or we may only pull out the part of scripture that makes us feel good. God promises a lot of things. He never said it was going to be easy, right? He went to a cross and died for us. You can't ever say the walk that he walked was easy. The burdens that he carried, the penalties that he suffered, the ridicule, the stones, the abuse that he suffered, that he received at the hand of men, were in fulfillment to God's plan, but it was part of the promise that God gave him. We don't always receive things as we expect. Sometimes it takes a longer amount of time. But we know that the promises are there. The promises are within the word, therefore ours to claim. Not to dash your hopes and your desires, not to snuff out the fire that you may have for the Lord and the hopes that you place, and the hopes and the faith that you place in him. I don't want to discourage that at all. But I want to you to focus your mind and your spirit on the actual words of God. These promises and what they truly mean. I can't stand here at this pulpit and tell you that you don't have to go through much and then you get to go to heaven and receive glory and honor. The word says that God is forging us in the fire like he does gold, so that we may be worthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I don't know of too many people or too many things that go through a fire that wouldn't tell you when you apply heat, it doesn't necessarily feel good. It might feel good for a little bit, you know, especially if you're down in the tropics sitting on the beach. But after a while, I can guarantee you're going to go in and find some air conditioning to receive some relief. Not that that's a horrible situation, mind you. But we are tried and we are tested and we are forged through the fire in order to be refined so that we may draw closer unto the Lord and be more like him and be worthy of entering into the kingdom. There are things that we must go through. The promises are there within the word, and they're ours to claim. They're ours to I'll give you some examples. Isaiah 26 Verse 3 says, Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. We have a promise of everlasting strength. We have a promise of, but what do we have to do to receive that? We have to keep our mind focused on God, right? And we have to trust in him. Did you ever notice a certain situation in your life that when you take it into your own hands and into your own will, it falls apart? And it fails? Best laid plans, right? We know that everything with the Lord is perfect. The biggest fault that I see within myself, it's improved. But within man, not necessarily any one specific, but in man, is our impatience. We want food, we want it fast. We want it hot, we want it now. We don't want to wait. We watch a TV show, we record it. Why? Because we don't want to watch the commercials. Why? Because we want to get through the commercial break so that we can get on with the rest of the show. Society has allowed it to become fast. Fast cars, fast trains, fast planes. How fast can you fly from the United States to England now? They used to have to take a boat. Right. Big difference, right? The world is, as I've heard mentioned in the movies a lot of times, the world went and got itself in a big hurry. So because of that, when we pray to God, a lot of times we're disappointed when we don't receive those answers in our time frame as we expect to receive them. But you have all the old adages, good things come to those who wait. A lot of times we know that God is doing a mighty work and working a plan that involves a lot of people. Different parts. Everything has to be lined up in order for those promises to be received. They're conditional. How many times do you do that with your child? They want to go somewhere, or they want to have a privilege, but you say, you got to clean your room first. God does the same thing with us. There's nothing new under the sun. You say, Lord, I want to enter into heaven. God says, you got to clean up your act first. You have to be worthy to enter in. You have to prove to me that you can be like me, because it's a huge privilege to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the promises that we are given and the promises that we receive lead us and guide us down that path that the Lord lays. And it allows us to be an encouragement to others. And to build the kingdom, to show everybody else that it's not just for me. This isn't just something that's, this book was written strictly for Christians. This book is not written strictly for us individuals. It's not written for Aaron. It's not written for Amber. It's not written for Brenda. Anyone can read it. There's so many different versions out now. Choose a strong sound. Pray for. You can receive the knowledge. You can receive the promise of everlasting life, just as I have. God has made me special with the abilities he gives me, not made me any different from anyone else. We all have special abilities that God gives us. We're all equal at the foot of the cross, right? There's nothing that I have done within my life that has made me special and made me stand out. It's the things that God has done with me, and it's because of his promises. It's because of the way he has strengthened me and given me the desires within to serve him, to build his kingdom, to share the promise with others. It's important that we understand these promises so that when we don't receive the answers that we would like or what we expect, we know why. We may be able to say, okay, well, I didn't necessarily trust in the Lord all the way with that one. I kind of thought I could take care of that myself. But when we don't receive the answers and things don't work out the way we had planned, who do we blame? God. The message in this message today really should encourage us to look at the promises, to understand additional within your day and within your life that you can quote left and right that is an encouragement to you. I have some here to continue with. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Gave to one, he'll give it to us. He gave it to his son, he'll give it to us, right? Romans 8:38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. Not necessarily a conditional promise there. Nothing can separate us from the love of the Lord. That's a promise. If you have God in your life, there's nothing that can separate you from it. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's a conditional one. If we faint not, we shall reap. So let's not grow weary. What's the best way to not grow weary? Trust in the Lord. Draw close to the Lord. Study the Word. Know these promises. They're there. They're not specific. They don't say, Brenda, this is your promise. It's only for you. This is one I'm giving just to you. Book was written how long ago? Way before my time. They're for all of us. And it's important that we trust in them, that we seek them, that we rely on them, and that we go well. One of my favorite promises that I rely on all the time is Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is one that I rely on a lot. That really strengthens my spirit because it lets me know that God will not, that God won't give up on me. He's doing a mighty work in me. And as long as I remain faithful and trusting in him, it'll be completed when Christ returns. There's also another one that I like, and that's that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. These promises are there. You can rely on them. You can claim them for your own and apply them to your life. We can also read of God's promises in Psalms 37:7, 37:23, and 37:28. There's another good one in 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, and Hebrews 6:10. And of course, there's many more. God gives us these promises. He places them within our hearts to strengthen us and guide us. The devil tries to discourage us and pull us out of the will of God so that we will walk away and so that we will say, no, that doesn't apply to me. So that wasn't, you know, I'm not worthy of that. There are ways that we are called to lead and guide others so that they could see the Christ within us. We've talked before how we battle our flesh. The desire to do good is within me, but I do not. Paul said that. It's all there. The best way for us to rely on them and to trust in them is to know them. To know the things. The one that I always go back to, and the one that I mentioned yesterday to a person I was talking to, was, I think it's Romans 8:28. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You've heard two wrongs don't make it right. We're not called to be mean and hateful to people that are mean and hateful to us. We are called to be better than that. We are called to reflect the light of God within us and to be a guiding light to others. It's hard because we wrestle flesh. Bless you. We wrestle our flesh and we battle our flesh. But it's important that through our good works, we reflect the promises, bless you, that God has given us. There are many. I say don't go give up. I encourage you to take your stand on the promises of God, to claim them as your own, to give you strength when you are weak. There are thousands and thousands that I haven't even mentioned waiting to be used. Obviously, I gave you, 10? Small drop in the bucket. There's 7,000, over 7,000. But when you stand on those promises and you claim them for your own, make sure you are standing on the promises, not outside the premises. Now, I read that and I thought, okay, that makes sense, but let me define it. A premise is a proposition supporting or helping to support a conclusion. It's like, stand on the promise, not on the idea of the promise. Make sense? You have to read the whole thing, the whole scripture, the whole promise. Don't just seek the conclusion. The promise says you must do this and you must do this and you must do this in order to receive this conclusion. You can't jump from point A to point Z and receive that conclusion. Allow the Lord to direct your path. He will speak unto your heart. He will enter in. He will lead and guide you to the promises that you can apply in your life to be an encouragement to you and an encouragement to others. They are there for the taking. As the word says in Psalms 119:105, says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God lights up our path with his word so that we may walk worthy of him. It makes sense that we serve such a loving God that has given us these words, the strength and the encouragement that we see in our lives every day, that allows us to serve him, to receive his blessings and his love and his mercy and the grace, the loving grace that he gives us. Climb the mountains, as was in the opening song today. Every time I sang that song at home, I couldn't sing it without crying. Because sometimes a mountain does seem too high to climb. But it's because of God's grace, because of God's promises, that we are able to do these things to honor him. We just have to wait. Trust in him. Don't get over anxious. Don't get in a hurry. Don't wish your life away. Trust in the Lord. He'll lead you and guide you. Know his word and seek his promises. My final words to you today would be to trust in those promises, trust in the Lord's promises, to claim them for your own and give all the honor and the glory to the Lord. For it is only by his love and his mercy and his grace that you are able to receive redemption for your sins. Seek his promises in your life. Trust in the Lord. Amen. Give him all honor and glory. And sing his praises. Does anybody have any questions or anything to add? Alrighty, if all hearts and minds are clear, we can...